We're going to call Amber up.
Okay, right now. Good.
And Amber has a testimony for us of something that happened to her, or has been happening to her, we'll say.
Hi, good morning. Is this thing working?
Yep.
Okay, so I was asked to give a testimony about something that happened last week. And I was giving a time limitation, but I'm a storyteller, so you guys just be patient with me. So last week, if you were here, you may have seen me. I came hobbling in with a cane, literally a cane. And I was just in the most pain from hip to hip and all through my back. And what you couldn't see, what you didn't know, was the Wednesday before, 4 days before, I'm gonna be real here. This is real life. I came home from work. My husband said, "Man, Amber, your feet stink. You need to go and wash those feet." So I'm in the master bathroom, and it's the shower or the sink. And of course, I'm far too short to actually reach my leg up there. So I hop on the counter, and I'm sitting on the countertop, and I have my feet in the basin, and I'm just chit-chatting with my toddler while I wash my feet. And as I brought one leg down, I lost it. I completely fell and I landed on my hip. My husband came rushing in there and picked me up and put me in the bed, and I couldn't feel my leg. And I just figured the pain is so big that it's caused numbness throughout the leg. That's gotta be it. And after a couple minutes, I realized I couldn't lift my leg. So I had to bear hug the knee, bring it to my chest, push it out, and pop my hip back in. And I was up every 15 minutes, and it was just horrible. I mean, it was horrible. So the next day, I went to the doctor, and she told me, she actually had to pop it in even more, and told me that I had just a lot of muscle bruising to limit my weight bearing. And I asked, how long is this pain gonna last? I couldn't even imagine a couple more minutes, you guys. And she said a couple of weeks. And I looked at her and I said, I didn't have any words. So I left there with a whole pharmacy in a bag of what I'm supposed to take at night, what I'm supposed to take every 4 to 6 hours. And I did. And I only managed to get 2 hours of work in for the rest of the week until Sunday. So I showed up here Sunday, and everyone could see that I was hurting, that there was something wrong with me, that I was broken. And Cody said, Amber, I'd like for you to stay after, and I would like my dear friend Chris Antonio, who plays the guitar up here, to pray over you. And I said, yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't I do that? Mm-hmm. And so after church, I remember Ashley actually laid hands on me, and there was a little circle of people, and I just felt like, okay, this is everybody I love, and I'm comfortable here. And Chris asked me, do you have faith that Jesus can heal you? And I said, well, yeah, duh, of course I do. He's healed so many things in my life. There's no question about it. But when I walked out to the car, and I didn't have to use my cane, and I sat in the car, and I didn't have that shooting pain when I was sitting, and I got home, and I walked up and down the hallway, and I bent over and took my shoes, and I sat down to use the restroom, then I was just in shock. I just sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed, and I kept thinking to myself, you had no faith, Amber. No matter what you say, you had no faith. You had no faith that this could be possible. I had no problems this week, no stiffness, mm-hmm. no aching. I worked 14 hours straight on Thursday and Friday, just killing it at work. And I came across this verse I wanted to share with you. It says, actually, this is from a devotional, and this is in Acts 13. It said, when Paul, at the time called Saul, met the risen Christ, he had to deal with the reality of Jesus. In a moment, he turned from being a skeptic to a believer. And that was my struggle this entire week. I cried and I prayed and I cried and I shared with people. And I thought, no wonder other people think that this is crazy, because I feel crazy and it happened to me. Mm-hmm. It said when Paul went out, there were three things that people mainly came back with. Some were intrigued by him meeting the risen Christ. Some were jealous, and some joyfully received the gospel. I just want to encourage you guys today that when I came in here, people could visually see that I was broken. But I assure you that Jesus has really healed me from the inside out, and it's been just years of trial and healing and mm-hmm. trial and healing. And so even if there's not something visually going on with you that everyone can see, Jesus still knows and he still cares about you guys. So today, if it's something you other people can see or if it's something that nobody even knows about, these people are here for you. Cody and Ashley and Chris are going to take the time to do the same healing prayer, and all you have to do is just hand it over and accept it. And Jesus is faithful. So I just thank you guys for being here, because then I get to be here too.
Let's praise God.
Praise God for that. Okay, I know we just like listen or whatever, but Amber was miraculously healed last week. Okay, amen?
It's
amazing.
Crazy.
I watched that woman hobble
it's
in here,
amazing.
And then she ran out of here without a cane. Like,
yeah.
That's one of the most amazing miracles that I have personally witnessed. There's only one other time in my ministry that we prayed for someone and they were miraculously healed. But even then, it wasn't as radical as that. God is still working today. He does miracles today, and he wants to do a miracle, I think, in some of our hearts and our lives today as well. And so we're going to go through this passage of scripture. We're going to start this series out, and then we are going to have a time where if you want some healing, you want some prayer, like she said, if it's something in your heart that you need help with, or if it's something in your body, you can receive that. You can receive that today from our leadership. And so today we're going to start a series about service, okay? And service is one of our six core values. We have six core values here at Village Church. It is unity, multiplication, transparency, service,
worship, multiplication.
I said it. Did I get six? Gosh, that's the first
generosity.
Time I've ever gotten it. You cannot
generosity.
Generosity. We did
Bam.
That one in January. So we know what's going on here, huh? We are going through each core value and kind of breaking it down to figure out what does this look like as a church to do this. So we've covered generosity, we've covered worship, we've covered unity, and now we're going to cover service. And so today, we just want to explain to you that to us at Village Church, service means that we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. As a church, you and I get to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Last week, when I laid hands on Amber and we came around her and prayed for her, we got to be that. It's in his authority. Nothing special is happening. You know, I'm a human, okay? Chris is a human. Cody, Matt was there. Matt is definitely a human. That's my husband. It's the authority of Jesus that does this work. And so we get to, it's an honor and a privilege that we get to serve people. We get to be the hands and the feet, the conduits of Jesus Christ to this world. And so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Isaiah 58. We're going to read this passage of scripture.
Yeah. All right. Isaiah 58, 1 through 11.
Or click open. If you have our app, you can download that.
Yep. All right, here we go. Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So the truth that we want to pull out of this passage today is that serving well begins with a right heart. Serving well begins with a right heart. Mm-hmm. So I want to just say that this passage kind of gives the example of fasting here, right? It talks a lot about the way that people were fasting at the time and that their heart wasn't right in it. But I think it's easy to replace fasting with really any spiritual discipline in this passage, in what it's talking about. You could replace fasting with prayer or Bible reading or anything, right? And so what's happening here is that God is telling his people that anything you do for his sake, even things that might seem intensely personal, right? Mm-hmm. Fasting is typically a very seemingly personal thing. It's supposed to be between you and God, typically, is what we're taught most of the time, right? But even in that, even in things personal like fasting and prayer and reading your Bible, these things should result in life change for you and life change for the world around you. That's why we have to get this heart issue out of the way before we get any further into this service series. It is all about the heart. And so at the core of this passage, God is teaching us that motives and attitude within everything you do are everything. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to get across to us here. It's not enough just to do good things, right? It's not enough just to try to be eager to do good things even, right? Like the purpose here is that we understand that we don't go through the motions in our belief, in our faith. Because that's what the trouble was here in Isaiah, is that people were just going through the motions. Well, we'll fast because we were told to fast. But there was no life change from that fasting. And then people would get indignant. Well, I'm doing what you told me to, and nothing would change in our lives, in their lives. And so God is telling them here, look, before you do anything else, you need to change your heart. You have to change your heart.
Yeah, we believe God has given this church a big vision. And if you've been here any amount of time, you know that the vision God has for our church is humongous. It's way bigger than Red Rock. And it starts here, but it's even starting to spill out into other areas, Gladden Farms and things like that. We believe that the gospel has the power to transform the world. We've had 90 now salvations in Red Rock since we started this church. We can celebrate that. That's people that have been transformed by the power of the gospel in the better, part of a year here at our church. We believe he's going to do that in multiple cities, multiple places, communities, and he's going to maybe raise you up to do that. And we believe that that's going to happen, not by saying, people in Red Rock, come to our church. Come here, right? They're not, people that don't know Jesus think that what we're doing in here is weird, okay? And if you have ever just sat back for a second, I have to be honest with you, even as a pastor, I'm like, what the heck are we doing in here sometimes, you know? Like, this is just an interesting thing. That's not going to make any sense to an unbeliever. But if we go out and if we be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us, we take the gospel that Jesus showed us how to do that, we're absolutely going to see that vision come to fruition. We'll see revival happen in people's lives. And so we believe God wants to unleash a church. That means you, a church of people that impact the world for Jesus because of the way that they serve. Do you hear me? The way that you are the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around you, specifically in this community and in the people that God has brought you, has the capacity to change the world, change other people and their lives. We absolutely believe that. And so when Cody says something like, if we're going to serve well, if we're going to see this unleashing come out of us, we got to have a right heart. Right? We got to make sure in this passage he's saying, you got to get your heart right, guys. You're doing all the things, but your heart is not right. And so we're going to look at this passage today and answer that question. How do we get our hearts right? Because I believe that in here today, there are people that need heart correction, and that's okay. Okay, I've needed heart correction last week. Okay, I'm doing okay today, but you know, I don't know how your morning was. Mine went actually very smoothly. It was amazing, but usually, you know, on my way to church, I'm like, Lord, I need a heart correction. I got little people. I'm trying to get here and run this thing, okay? So all that to say, we're going to answer that question, and maybe right now you can even begin to own, like, maybe God wants to do a work in my heart today. It can be for you.
Right. And so if we ask that question, how do we get our hearts right? Then the first point we want to share today is that we have to get honest about the state of your heart. You have to get honest about the state of your heart. And we can see this, that that's what was being brought out in this passage, right? That at the top of this, like, they're crying out for God and they're saying, look, I'm doing all these things. I'm fasting and I'm setting this time aside for you. And I thought I was doing what you told me to, but nothing's changing. Where are you, God? Like, why am I not getting what I think I deserve for being obedient in this time and in this place right now? I'm doing what you told me to do, I thought, but nothing's changing in my life. I'm not seeing the breakthrough in my life, even though I thought I was being obedient. We can all kind of relate to that, right?
Mm-hmm. If you're honest.
We've all been there. Mm-hmm. We all have. I have, Ashley has, we all have, right? Like, what in the world? Like, I thought I was doing everything right. You know, I'm reading when I'm supposed to be reading. I'm praying when I'm supposed to be praying. I volunteer when I'm supposed to volunteer. I show up and I help tear down the church even, right? But nothing's changing. And I keep seeing the world getting blessed around me, but I'm not getting blessed. I'm not getting what that person got. What's the difference? They're not serving. They're not fasting. They're not reading their Bible like I do. But somehow, God seems to be looking out for them more than me. That's exactly what was happening here. And God is pointing that out in them and saying, you're getting this all wrong. You're getting this all wrong. This is about life change. The reason you do anything for God is to change you and to change the world around you. God was calling these people, and we're going to get into this later, but he's calling them, you have to change, otherwise you have no story to tell. So if you just go through the motions, what kind of story is that? It's just checking off boxes every day with no results. But that's not the story that I want to live. That's not the story I know you want to live. And that's the story that God was confronting his people with at that time.
Yeah, I heard a pastor say one time this sort of cheesy statement, but I really like it. It says, you can do a lot of good things, but they aren't necessarily God things. You can do a lot of good things, but they're not necessarily God things. You know, it's the very nature of church, of just doing church like we're doing right now, is that we're all serving, right? There's a big team that puts us together. We come, we greet each other. We're here to encourage each other to serve. And it's really interesting within the church structure, we can see this happen, a lot of good things, people having their hands in a lot of things, but they aren't necessarily God things, even within the church, even within doing God's work. And it all comes down to the state of our heart. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you? We can do busy ourselves. I can find any number of cool things to do for God. But what has he gifted me for? And what is he doing in my life? And how does he want to use me is a question I think is better to be asked. Now, I will say, this is a side note. That doesn't mean like, oh, I really don't like kids, so I don't want to volunteer in the kids ministry. All right? They always need volunteers over there. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to come out of the clouds and tell you, go volunteer. They need it, right? So we do just serve. But it's when our hearts aren't right that it's just good things that we're doing. You know, when we operate in that sort of mentality, this like legalistic mentality, like I do a lot of good things for you, God, then you do a lot of good things for me. And as much as we say that's not right in here, I think we can all relate to, we sort of live out that truth sometimes. You know, I do good things in hopes that good things will happen to me, right? But that's not how it works. God blesses his children because he loves them, whether they do good things or not, right? Like, I know I'm not a perfect person, and God blesses my life because he loves me, not because of all the good things that I do for him. You know, there was a time in our life, that before we had children, that Matt and I wanted to have kids. And I have fertility issues and things like that. Pregnancy does not come, it's not a surprise ever. Okay, it's not like, oh, this has just happened. Wow. Okay, I know a lot of people that's happened for, but for us, it's just a journey. Okay, and so I remember in that time, the first time we're trying to just start our family, it had been months. And we're starting to, you know, look into fertility stuff and all this. And I just remember everyone in the world around me getting pregnant. Everyone, like every, is that, you know, if you know that when you want something, it, you know, for women, this is so, we know what that's like if you ever struggle with that. But if you want something and you're not getting it and it has to be from God, don't you always feel like everyone else around you is getting it? You're very aware, like, look at, they got financial breakthrough. I'm over here like, oh, bank account again, or, you know, whatever it is, like that just kind of seems like everyone else is getting it. I was so bitter at the Lord. I had this good things down. I was in ministry. I was serving the Lord. I'd given my life, given up, you know, careers and things like that to give my life to the Lord. I wasn't getting what I wanted. It was hard. It was hard for me. I just will never forget the day that I just feel like the only way I can describe it is that God just smacked me, you know, in the best kind of way. The word says he disciplines those he loves. And he just was like, do you not trust me? Do you not trust me? Whether you get kids or not, do you trust me that it really comes from me? You're living this good things life of legalism. That is not a relationship here. And I'm not going to give you what you want as long as your heart is like that. You know, so God really did a work in me. And so when Cody says, you know, we struggle with it, we have. We've been there. We're human beings. And we know that that is something to you. I will say this. It is not easy to admit that you are selfish. It's not easy to admit that maybe down deep underlying when you serve other people or you serve God or do good things that, you know, I kind of want something out of it. I'm not doing it just to do it. Like, I hope I get something out of it, right? It's not easy to admit that, but I'll tell you what, the point here we're making is we have to get honest about the state of our heart. If we're going to see this movement unleash and we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we got it today. We're not going to go on a journey with it. Today, we're going to admit, I have a heart issue. There might be a tinge of selfishness. Some of you might be like, no, I literally am so selfish. I'm realizing, like, there's not a tinge. The whole thing is filled up. Today, we want to get our hearts right. None of this, but I've given up more than that person. God, why did they get that? Or I do more good things. Or I give 10% of my income. And so why do they get the blessing when they don't? And I'm over here struggling financially. You know, those things, we got to be honest about the state of our heart.
Yeah. If you'll notice, we start every one of these core value sermon series really pretty much with this point. Is getting your heart right about that core value. And I'm gonna say, right now, a lot of you might be feeling a little like exposed in this, like your heart's just been kind of ripped open and it's like, well, great, thank you for that. Now I feel terrible about myself, right? Like that's a tendency I know when you're confronted with change, with things that have to change, it's not always a comfortable, great feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But I wanna say before we move on and I ask you some questions that understand, and I say this a lot, but understand that that conviction is God believing in you to be who you need to be, who he knows you can be. And so what that is it's not him saying, man, you better change, or I'm so mad at you, or I'm ashamed of you, or here, I want you to feel guilty. That's not at all what it is. What it is an extension of his hand saying, take my hand and come out of that place. It's time to be done there. You've lived in that place for long enough. Be done. Be free from that mentality, from that lifestyle. So as we move forward, can we own that that's the feeling that we have in us about our heart? Change. Can we own that that is what God wants for us, is that it's him believing in us so hard, so much, that he wants us to step into a new chapter and a new way of life with him? Can we own that together? Can we own that? All right. So I'm just going to ask a couple quick questions. So if you're feeling that right now, open yourself up to just owning the state of your heart. Can you own the state of your heart in this area? And again, maybe it's the state of your heart, not just in service, but in general towards God and why you do anything for Him. Can you just own that for a second? Can you own the fact that maybe you've gone through some motions in your life and it's made you a little cynical because you haven't gotten the results that you thought you deserved? Can we own that a little bit? And if that's the case, I would just ask you to ask God for a heart transformation right now. Yeah. And I also want to say that He's already provided that transformation for you. So all you have to say is, yes, I own that. I am free now from that way of life. I want a new heart. So God, thank you for giving me a new heart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really powerful. We believe that. And that's what God was telling His people then. He's saying, hey, get your hearts right. I already have it for you. Do it this way. We're going to talk about some of the blessings that come when we do that in just a bit. But the second thing, if we're going to get our hearts right, is that we have to own, you and I have to own God's purpose through service. Okay, so it's not enough just to get our hearts right. We actually have to do something. We still have to serve. Right? It's not, we can't, it says faith without deeds is dead in the Bible. We can't just say, yeah, my heart's good. I'm right. No, there's doing that happens from it. And I love this passage, Isaiah 58, because it gives a picture of service that is so beautiful and so full. And so I'm going to read you just a couple things, paraphrase it. It says, in verses 6 and 7, it says, to serve people, to break chains in people's lives. You, through your service to other people, you break chains, like we've done in here. If I know not everyone was there for that service where we literally did do that. People lined up and said, I got some chains in my life, I'm gonna break them. And then you take it, you go out and you do, and you break chains in people's lives. Set others free from bondage. Feed the hungry, clothe the poor, take care of your family. Verse 10, I love this part. This is the fullest understanding of service. Spend yourselves on behalf of those in need. Spend yourself, not for what you get out of it. Spend yourself on behalf of those people in need. That's what it means to get our hearts right, is to own God's purpose for our lives, to do what He's asked us to do by being who He's asked us to be.
So I want to share a quote by Mother Teresa. She said, I try to give to the poor people for love what the rich could get for money. I'm going to say that part again. I try to give to the poor people for love what the rich could get for money. She says, no, I wouldn't touch a leper for $1,000, but I would willingly cure him for the love of God. Do you see what that looks like when there's a heart shift in why you do anything? She was such an incredible example of self-sacrifice, but not just because you're supposed to do this for God, right? She owned the fact that everything she did was for the sake of other people. And that the calling that God had on her life was to break chains in people's lives, was to set others free from bondage, was to feed the hungry, clothe the poor, take care of families. She spent herself on behalf of those in need. And again, I get that's radical. We're not going to turn into Mother Teresa here, right? We're not going to go live in communes and we're going to, you know, serve for the rest of our lives like that. That's not what we're all called to, but the heart is what we are called to.
Yeah.
Do we get that? When you serve God with a right heart, even the smallest task has kingdom impact. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is even setting up chairs, right? Like, it's easy for us to come here every week and just, okay, we need to set up chairs, we need to run the cables, we need to set the walls up, we need to make this place kind of feel at least like a church and not a cafeteria, right? Like, we do our best to do that every week, right? But setting up those chairs every time, right, is not just an act of service. Well, it's got to get done. Somebody better do it, you know? We got to get out there, we got to set these chairs up or whatever. But What each of these chairs represents is healing for somebody. What you do for yourself, you do for other people. And I honestly can't think of a much better example than setting chairs out.
Yeah.
You're providing an opportunity for chains to be broken in someone's life just by taking a chair off a rack and putting it on the ground. That's the heart change. The reason you do anything is because you hope that God can have breakthrough in someone else's life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, godly service is not just about doing nice things for other people, but it's about being the conduit of Jesus to change the very fabric of someone's life.
Yeah.
When you serve somebody, you know, I had this friend, his name was Dale, and he listens to our podcast, so he'll hear it, but Dale was super lost. Matt and I were kind of befriended him through other friends, didn't know Jesus, and I'll tell you what we did for Dale. We he was a single guy. Matt and I are married. We had kids. We just opened up our house to him, so he would stop by every day after work. He lived really close to us, and we would make tacos for him, and that's all I know how to make, so we ate a lot of tacos in that time. And I just remember, like, we played Phase 10, or if you ever played that game, played Phase 10 together, and, like, Mexican Train, and just ate tacos. That's, like, what we did. Sometimes we watched a movie together. And you know what's funny? Dale came to know the Lord very radically. His life is transformed. He's changed. He got married to an amazing woman. God's at work in their life. And Dale will always say to Matt and I, "You literally changed my life." And I always tell him, "All I did was make you tacos." Like, that's all I did, right? It was just tacos. It's not nice things. You know, I'm just doing nice things for you. But when you do it with a right heart, even the smallest thing that you do for someone, like Cody said, has kingdom impact, real kingdom impact. It can change the fabric of someone's life. Absolutely, it can. I want to ask you this question. How have you owned God's purpose for you through service? What are you doing for other people by owning the purpose God has for you? Are you someone that God would say, "Yes, I'm using that person to change the fabric of other people's lives around me? My neighbors, my family members, my children, the way I take care of poor people, the way that I interact with people that are maybe different than I am." How have you owned that? And if you haven't, that's part of that getting honest about the state of your heart today. That can change for you today. I want to say this too, is that you should have an agenda for other people. That's kind of a weird thing for Christians, because it feels like, am I befriending somebody or making them tacos with an agenda? And I feel, you know, is that genuine? Absolutely, it's genuine. You got to love people genuinely. And absolutely, the agenda is to see every single person that you know won for Jesus Christ, because we believe in the power of the gospel. We believe it changes lives and hurts and breaks chains of addiction in this life and in the next. And so it's okay for us, and we should go into serving someone. I have an agenda to show you Jesus, not to get you to come to my church, not to get you to be a better, you know, what I think you should be, ABC, good person, but so that you can know Jesus. Is that an agenda that you have when you walk in to the presence of other people? Especially people that don't know him. Is that your agenda? Do you understand the power that you carry in the Holy Spirit, that when you walk in, God can use you to change the very fabric of someone else's life just by making them tacos, right? Just Mother Teresa, she just had a presence with people. An amazing impact was made. If you make good tacos, invite me over. Okay. All right, moving on.
Okay. So our last point, our last point today is that we need to keep the reward in front of you. Keep the reward in front of you. And so we talked at the beginning, right, about how, you know, the people's mindset in this passage was that, you know, they're not getting what they thought they deserved, right? And so what God does here is he flips that on his head, and he said, no, you're not going to get what you think you deserve. You're going to get what you need when you operate in this way. And this is what your reward is. Verses 8 through 11, you become a beacon of hope above all of the darkness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Your own personal healing will gain momentum. Righteousness will pave the way for your life. You will be guarded by the glory of the Lord. How crazy is that? Mm-hmm. The glory of the Lord will guard your backside, it says. And it says, you have the ear of God and his swift response. You receive guidance and direction always. You become strong, foundationally strong, rooted in your frame. And you will be defined by the word thrive. Mm-hmm. Don't you want that? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that better than crying out to God and saying, like, man, I wish that debt, that $200 debt in my life would go away, and all the fasting that I've done, you're not taking that away, God. What's the deal here? I'm serving you with everything I have. But instead, he's saying, look, that's all going to take care of itself, mm-hmm. and I've already provided a way for that to happen. What I care about is that you are who you need to be for the sake of my kingdom, and I am going to equip you magnificently to do so. Yeah. I'm going to read that again. You're going to become a beacon of hope above the darkness in the world. Your own personal healing will gain momentum. Your righteousness will pave the way for your life. You will be guarded by the glory of the Lord. You will have the ear of God and his swift response. You'll have guidance and direction always. You'll become strong, and you'll be defined by the word thrive. That's an incredible promise.
Yeah, I love this point. It says, keep the reward in front of you. That's how we get our hearts right. Because, you know, it's one thing to recognize the state of your heart, right? And then when you do that, you're like, okay, now I got my heart right. I'm going to do for the Lord. I'm going to own my purpose. But then to keep your heart right is the challenge, right? Because we get our heart right, we know it so easily can slip out sometimes. And so what God is saying is, don't you know my promises? Keep that in front of you. Keep that in front of you. You want my ear and my guidance and the sure, the understanding that I'm always with you and I'm going to protect you, and that thriving. I love that word, thrive. I think that so perfectly describes what it looks like when the glory of the Lord is guarding your life. Right? We got to keep that reward in front of us. We can't keep looking back. Right? Someone, a pastor I know, and we've said it a few times, said, I don't want my God moments to have cobwebs. Right? God did something, you know, women's retreat 2012 in my heart. He did. It was absolutely amazing. Unleashed me for ministry. But that was 2012, okay? If I'm banking on 2012 and the rewards and promises of 2012, it's now 2017. I'm going to be pretty dried up and tired, and I got cobwebs all over my faith and my God moments. We don't want to, that's not what it's supposed to live like for us. It's not supposed to look like for us. And so we keep those promises of this scripture. I encourage you, just take Isaiah 58 and meditate on it this week. Go through it and just make it. Go every day and just meditate. Make that part of your devotion. Read the same thing every morning. Keep those rewards, those promises of God in front of you. We don't rely on what has been. We look forward. And that's what keeps our hearts right. Because I'll tell you something. When you are spending yourself for the sake of those in need, it is exactly what that sounds like. Spending yourself. That, to me, that sounds, I'm giving up my rights. I'm tired. I've done a lot for people in need. I'm spending. That can be hard over time. So if we don't keep the promises of God in front of us, then our hearts will slip right back out of that state that he needs us in, right? If we are looking back years on, you know, God did this work in my life forever ago, it's not going to be fresh and in front of us. God has something for you. And maybe you've been with a right heart spending yourself for people in need, and you just need to hear that this morning. You need to hear the promises of God this morning. You need to meditate on those and keep those in front of you, not behind you. Does that make sense?
So I want to just ask one quick question here. So what reward do you want to serve for? The reward of things you think you want, or the reward of what God knows you need? What do you want in your life? Because there's really only two ways about it. There's no third option. There's no gray area here. It's pretty black and white. Because serving for what you think you want is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go that way. That's not how it works. But if you serve with a right heart, with a right understanding of why we do everything we do, and understand that it's for the sake of other people and seeing chains broken in other people's lives, when we own that in us and we operate that way, then we can know we're going to have every promise that God knows we need in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all need to own. Can we do that? Can we own that today? All right.
Yeah, we're going to invite the worship team come forward. At the back end of our service, we always provide a response time for you. We said some things today. We got real quick. I said real two times. We got real, really quick this morning. And, you know, maybe some of you right at the get-go of this word from God in Isaiah, you were like, uh-oh, I've got some selfishness. I think, like, I've been doing all the right things. I need a heart change. You're going to get honest about the state of your heart. Some of you maybe have, you know, recognize that and also need to make a commitment today. I'm going to own the purpose that God has for me. I'm going to understand maybe for the first time in my life or the first time in a long time. Sometimes walking with God for a long time can kind of make us in need of a reminder of the power that we carry with the Holy Spirit to change the fabric of people's lives around us. And maybe today you just needed that restful reminder of the reward. Maybe today you just want to keep that reward in front of you, and maybe it's been behind you, and it's time to bring it up to the front so that you can get some rest and you can get some encouragement to keep going, to keep your heart right. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. I really believe in moments that people just need moments. It's April 23rd today, and you might ask, I might ask a question. You might raise your hand just to say on April 23rd was the day that I ... or it was the day that God spoke truth to me, or that he changed my heart, or he unleashed me. I'm just going to ask you just a couple questions. And if it's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. Just be honest this morning. If we were talking about getting honest about the state of your heart and you just felt that conviction, that Holy Spirit conviction, I want you to know not that that is God saying, I believe in you. I just want to point out to you, there's a new season of growth coming. There's a new season of growth coming, and that should be an encouragement to you. And so if you heard that, you know, I got to get honest about the state of my heart, and we talked about that tinge of selfishness, or maybe the heart full of selfishness, and you just want to acknowledge that today and hand that over to God and say, you know what, that's not right, that's not who I want to be, come give me a new heart, would you raise your hand? Thank you guys, that's really great. I'm always amazed at the transparency in our church. You guys are so brave, and it moves me. It really does. If you are hearing, okay, we got to be honest, we also have to do. We have to own God's purpose, and even small things make kingdom impact. And you've realized today, you know what? I need to spend myself on behalf of those in need and not worry about me, because I'm going to have God at my rear guarding me, the glory of the Lord guarding me. And you want to just make a commitment today. You know what? I'm going to own godly service that way. Would you raise your hand? Amen. God's going to use you. Those of you who have that heart, God is going to use you to change the fabric of people's lives around you, without a doubt. And maybe today you needed that reminder just to keep the reward in front, and you needed just that rest in God this morning. He's taking care of you. He's taking care of you. And you just want to just own those promises over your life today. Would you raise your hand? Praise God. If you are feeling like God is starting a journey with you here when it comes to service, we're going to spend a couple more weeks talking about, okay, what does service look like? Now that we get our hearts right, what does that mean? I want to encourage you. You got a little connection card, information card in your bulletin. You can write a prayer request down. You can say, you know what, that message was for me. That always helps us know where the Holy Spirit is moving. We would love to just pray for you and to know what God is doing in your life. So you can write that down on the connection card. You can also, on our app, actually submit a prayer request electronically on there. For those of you that have cards, you can put those in the giving stations. There's two on the side and one in the back. You can also respond to God with your giving. But I believe in this next little bit, we have about 20, 25 minutes in here together. God is going to change hearts today. Do you believe that? This is going to be a turning point again for some of you. You've gotten the chains off, and today we say, okay, now, Lord, unleash me. Not only break chains in my life, but unleash me to break chains in the lives of others. And we were talking before the service, you know, Amber was miraculously healed, and I was thinking about service and how if we're going to pour ourselves out, spend ourselves on behalf of those in need, on behalf of our city, then we better make sure that we're good and healed up, right? And so today, you know, we're going to sing a song. It'll be a response time for you to explore that in your heart. And then we're going to go into a time of prayer. And Jonathan and Cody and Chris are going to abandon me on the piano. And they're going to come out to the front here. And if that's you, we want to encourage you. We don't always do this in our church. But if that's you, take this moment, okay, April 23rd, to come forward. Maybe it's physical healing that you want to ask God for. Maybe it's spiritual healing, chains that you've been carrying. Resentment. I don't know what it is that God might want to unleash you from today, but I know He wants to do it. And so we're going to just have you bow your heads. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go into this time, and then they'll come forward and we can just rely on the Holy Spirit to do that work. Father, we're in this season of saying this phrase, Lord, that we believe the gospel. We believe the story, Father, of Jesus Christ that frees us from our sin. Lord, that by His death and resurrection, God, we now have life with Him, life abundant here and now and in heaven, Father, in eternity. Father, we believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in our church. We praise You for Amber. God, we just thank You for ushering us into a season of miraculous healing, spiritual and physical. Lord, we don't want to leave this season, God, and we know that it's by Your authority that these things happen, and so we invite You here now. Lord, there's some people in tears today, Father. I know that's the evidence of You working. There's some people that raised their hand and said, I've got selfishness, I've got human nature still lingering around, and Jesus died that would be dealt with, and I don't want it. Lord, they're going to lay it down today. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would usher in an anointing over us. God, I pray that You would unleash people today to ministry, maybe even full-time pastoral ministry today. Maybe there are people sitting here that have a call on their lives to be full-time pastors and are just hearing the inkling of that, or church planters, or even just incredible tools in Your hands to change the fabric of people's lives around them. God, we believe that You are here with us. Lord, let Your glory fall on us now. As that scripture says, the glory of the Lord will guard you, Father. We invite You. Usher it in, Father. We step into Your presence. Move, Holy Spirit, that You could be seen, that we could be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.